Romans chapter 2, verse 11. Romans chapter 2, verse 11. All right, we're going to read chapter 2, verse 11 through 16. Who will do that for us? Romans chapter 2, verse 16. Verse 11 through 16. 11 through 16. Who has that?
I do.
Go ahead.
For God does not show favoritism. All who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. And all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law, since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. This will take place on the day when God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares.
Okay. Thank you. Verse 16 in my Bible says, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Okay. Now then, verse 11, there is no partiality with God. I thought about that for a while and I thought, has God ever picked the smartest, the richest, the most beautiful, or the most handsome to do his tasks? Has he ever done that? Has that been important to God? You know, not important. You know, he's talking here about Jews and Greeks, but there's no partiality in anything. It's not important. I was thinking about Noah. I don't know what kind of guy Noah was. It doesn't say that much about him. But Abraham, the task he chose Abraham for was pretty difficult. He was an old man. Gideon didn't seem to be special. When we read of Gideon the first time, he was thrashing wheat for his father. And Joseph, well, he was special to his father, but he didn't seem special. Moses, he started out with stature, but not when God called him. He didn't have stature. And then there is David. He didn't get any respect, you know, when he says, well, let's go down there and fight him. What? You get out of here, punk. You can't do anything. Well, I've killed bears and lions. I don't know that they ever believed him. But he wasn't that special. He was a little guy. Money, looks, personality don't count. Now, if you have a smooth tongue, that might get you ahead in this world, but probably not with God. Dustin.
I like that as you just went through the people, and I think Matthew was interesting about that. They were not popular in the world at all.
No.
And you think about that, they were really nobody. They were looked down upon.
Yeah. We don't like taxes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, so Matthew was like the IRS auditor. We don't like those. So, you know, if he's not looking for money, looks, personality, what's he looking for? Pure heart? Yeah?
And yes, yeah, last week we had a verse, and I knew where it was last week, but I didn't look it up again. But he says, a humble and contrite heart, this he will look upon. That is important to God. He will look upon that. A humble and contrite heart. That's not really the point of where Paul was going with this. We see the point, we'll see the point in the end, that Paul is going to end up making everybody he's addressing realize that they're all sinners. So if we keep that in mind as we go, that's the point he's going to make. Verse 2, chapter 12, chapter 3, verse 21. And that's where Paul begins his dissertation, and that's where it all comes to play, in that all are sinners. So we're going to do a lot of reading, and since I have the microphone, I will do it. Chapter 2, verse 12. We read to verse 16. So I'll start in 17. We'll go to chapter 3, verse 21. Indeed, you are called a Jew. Now, he just prior talked about the Gentiles. Now he's moving over to the Jews. Indeed, you are called a Jew, and rest on the law, and make your boast in God, and know his will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the foreknowledge, or the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. I want to stop there. You know, if we're professing God, we need to be careful how we live our life. We need to be careful, even when we might be justified in being aggravated. Well, let me give you a... I'll tell you a story about my mother. You don't know about my mom, little Joe. She's 96 years old, and she's in a care center. She's had to be taken to a hospital twice because they have not been giving her stool softener. And this has caused her pain and agony. I asked my sister. They don't buy any medication. You, the family has to bring it in, or the person living there. Did you get any stool softener for my mom? No. David, did you? No. Well, I haven't. They haven't had any. They don't buy it. If they haven't bought it, and we haven't given it to them, they haven't been given her any, and they know they're supposed to. Two trips to the emergency room. So, man, I was ready to strangle somebody. And I was intending to really, you know,
Lie into them.
And I had some time, and I just couldn't do it. So I went in there, and I said, I'm not here to point fingers or find blame. We need a solution. This doesn't need to happen. It never did need to happen. And it shouldn't happen again. So we worked it out. But if I had lit into them, and later on said anything about God, they would have gone, oh. They would have thought, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. That would not have been good. So, we need to think about that. People are looking. They're looking for a reason to justify their lack of desire for God. And if they find it in you, that's not a good thing. Any comment?
Yeah, I have one.
Good.
You know, I was just thinking, I think we sometimes confuse what happens. because when we see something that we are convinced is totally inappropriate, whatever it is, and it angers us, we feel like that's a righteous anger sometimes.
Yeah.
And yet, what you just demonstrated in that story was dealing with the issue with calmness, but firmness can lead to a good result. Whereas,
yeah,
a different sort of behavior might have actually worsened the situation in some way.
And I had thought about that.
It's too bad. We can't always think it through,
right,
on the front end, because our emotions get in the way of what our rational brain might tell us.
Right. And then on top of that, if there are any cause for pride to come in, or, you know, something like that, that just aggravates the circumstances. Yes, okay. We didn't know she... Well, now, they're responsible for getting her medicine. Yeah. They get all her medications. Yeah. Yeah, but they charge us for them. And so, we hadn't paid them, nor had we got them. And so, yeah.
We know we had a post to say, everybody's busy, nobody's busy. Sometimes that's what happens.
Yeah. You're right.
It's often what happens.
Yeah.
And about everything that you come across. When you have
yeah.
a group of people.
Right.
You are
very... Oh, no, I thought Peggy was doing that. That's Peggy's job. That's Peggy's job. Is that what you...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I read a little poem one time that said it was about my mom.
Uh-huh. For you to keep the law, but if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirement of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you, who even with your written code and circumcision, as a transgressor of the law? I'm going to read that again. And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who, even with your written code and circumcision, as a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from God, not from men, but from God. Chapter 3, verse 1. What advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way. Chiefly, because to them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the right faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man be a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may be overcome when you are judged. But if our righteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say then? Is God unjust who inflicts wrath? Certainly not. For then how will God judge the world? For if the truth of God has increased through my lie to his glory, why am I also still judged as a sinner? And why not say, let us do evil that good may come? as we are slanderously reported, and as so some affirm that we have said, their condemnation is just. So how good are we at justifying sin? So here people are saying, oh, our sin increases righteousness of God. Because our sin, in contrast to God's righteousness, brings out the righteousness of God. So, hey, let's sin. That's craziness. Verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. Are we better than the Jews? He's saying, not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin, as it is written. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The passion of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That comes from Psalms 36:1. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So now he's confirmed that the Jews are sinners. In verse 21, is the solution. So it's like the sales pitch. You know? Here's your problem. And it's brought out and it's real. I mean, it's not. God didn't make this up. It taught. Revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And so now we're going to kind of pick that apart. Verse chapter 3:21. being the solution to the problem that all men have sinned. Everybody has the same problem. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God, witnessed by the law and the prophets, has been revealed. So,
the law and the prophets have written about this coming time. And now it's been revealed.
Isaiah is full of things about Jesus, the suffering Messiah, and now it is revealed. And Paul is laying it out. So we see Matthew 6:33. Because I don't know that we necessarily attach Jesus Christ to the righteousness of God when we see in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What do we think? We think, well, I have to be good. That's what we think about that. I have to be good. I have to seek His kingdom. I have to seek to be in His kingdom. And I have to seek His righteousness. He is the standard. But I believe that that is saying, I have to seek Jesus Christ. Because that is God's righteousness.
That goes back to what you were just talking about with your mother and everything, Mark. And you wanted to go out with the missions.
Yes.
That's what you wanted, but you stepped back and thought, what would Jesus do? And I used to see those bracelets.
Hell yeah.
And I have those WWJT on them. I'm like, you know, before I grew spiritually, I used to think,
right.
And that's exactly what this whole break is for all about. You know, I used to think, I don't know about all that, but before I could really my spiritual walk, basically, I was like, what would you do? In this circumstance, why wouldn't that go through your mind and everything you do in your life? That would sure help you.
It would be.
Him first.
Right.
And you know, then the things will follow no matter what. I mean, through your job, you work for him and not for the person you work for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So.
Yeah. Thank you, Dustin. Anybody else? So in verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. Coming back to including everybody. But it says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus. So, through faith in Jesus, to all and on all who believe, who have faith. So, faith is the first step to the righteousness of God. Faith is the first step to the righteousness of God. So, if we're going to seek the righteousness of God, we have to have faith. We have to have a believing, a working believing faith. Any input? Verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So, you can't sit there, and I can't stand here thinking, well, this doesn't apply to me. It applies to everybody. Verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Through God, His unmerited favor, His grace, we're freely justified through the redemption found in Jesus Christ.
And that is the righteousness that we have been seeking, is the justification. Yes, Kenny?
Society, thinking differently,
person.
Yeah. One method of justification. Because she's spot on. Yeah. That's the way we do. So we judge ourselves by what standard? When we're doing that, what Kay said, whose standard are we using? Society. Yeah, society standard. John.
Right.
every good thing in our life, Satan can pervert it to this, what she was talking about, to I can't do this.
And there are some people who apparently feel no guilt about anything. They are the sociopaths, as the psychiatric world might define it. They have no feeling for anyone or anything.
Right. Yeah. Joe. No, I'm going there.
Sorry. Well, let me just talk about verse 24 then.
Okay.
The idea of sin separating man from God and all of us falling short. He speaks that we've been justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Grace is unmerited favor.
Right.
And so we can't earn this. We don't deserve it. But because of our obedience in Christ and our faith in Him, we have it. Well, I think verse, when you get to the verse down there,
yes,
it'll make more sense.
Okay. Now I expect you'll have more to say about this when we get there. How's that? Okay. Verse 25. Whom God set forth, Jesus Christ, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, God's righteousness, because in God's forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. And that was verse 25. What a beautiful and fantastic gift. God sent Jesus, the solution to the problem. A propitiation. And the word propitiation means to appease or make well disposed. He sent it, and this happened by the blood of Jesus. Not just automatically, but by faith. So, we have to decide to believe it. We have to decide to believe it in a way that belief is firm and strong enough to change our behavior. Even the demons believe, it says. But we have to have a believing faith. An active faith. Exactly. Verse 26. So what did God do? Why did God do that in verse 25? It says to demonstrate His righteousness. God did this to demonstrate His righteousness. So how do you think He accomplished that? To demonstrate His own righteousness, because in His forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. God sees what He's done, sending His Son as righteousness. Forbearance. The word means an abstaining from an enforcement of a right. So He abstained from a right that He had to condemn us all. Alright, verse 6. To demonstrate, this is why He did it, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So, Jesus Christ coming, God sending His Son, planning it before the foundations of the world, knowing we would need a Savior, sent His Son to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. What can we say about that?
God is already just. That we might see, I think this, we might see God's justice. And that He is the justifier of all. Through faith. Actually, when you think about it, justice would be our condemnation. But not in God's eyes. That's in our eyes. Limited view of things. We have a hard time with a lot of things. We think things should possibly be, oh, that's not the way, it should be different. I was struggling this weekend. I was working on an engine and I had to put this cover on and I put gasket sealer all over it. So I had two gaskets. I had one here and one here, and I had the part, and it had to fit on properly, and every hole had to line up. I had to get bolts through all of them. You move the gasket, and you know, it can't get the hole through them. Bolt through the hole. I struggled with that. The gasket, I thought, man, I'm frustrated. This gasket sealer is going to set up on me. Where will I be then? And when I finally got it done, the gasket sealer was so tacky. And then I thought, holy cow, that's probably best. Probably the best thing would have been to put the gasket sealer on, wait and let it get tacky, and then put the part on. And I go, thank you, Lord. Now you're up there laughing at me because I got so frustrated with this, and here, it's exactly the way I needed it. You know, now you can put that into spiritual perspective if you have a good imagination. You know, so we can be frustrated, and we can be, you know, but God might think, or God might say, hey, that's just what you need. Yeah. Yeah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your righteousness, Your justice, and that You can justify us, even though we are all sinners. We pray, Father, that You'll give us a wisdom and an understanding that we might come to know You through this Bible study. We might come to appreciate You more. The sacrifice that You made for us and the love that You have for us. Father, we thank You for it all. We thank You for each other, and we pray, Father, that as we live this life, that You'll give us opportunities to help each other in our spiritual walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.